You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know you had it in your heart to do it anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister you is, getting it done. We appreciate that. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live for whatever reason, but you want to get some information, just go to timeforanawakening.com. And when you see the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed, click on that, and you can go to the archives and check out previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. We appreciate that from my good friend and brother, Brother Kwaku. Also, programs that are here on Time for an Awakening. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. All times I'm going to give are Eastern times. Acres of Diamonds. Tonight, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. And after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers is on Tuesday, tomorrow night from 8 to 10 Eastern. Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC, Revive. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. That's right, it's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it is not me. It is Sister POC with Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Time for an awakening, Sunday evening, 7 p.m. to 10, or 7 p.m. until. And that's once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. All these programs you can listen to. And then, of course, you can share comments, questions, or concerns with those programs, with those program hosts, by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses by WeBuyBlack.com. They have a kiosk in the Atlanta Mall, the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. They have a kiosk where they sell products produced by us. Everything they sell is produced by us. Laundry detergent, razors, batteries, toothpaste, toothbrushes. I mean, an array of things. So check them out. Check them out. Go online, WeBuyBlack.com. Cafe Ulu. Now, they still broadcast on Thursdays. They broadcast on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday at 9 p.m. And you can check out Cafe Ulu. It's Thursday night broadcast, and the number to dial is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio, Cafe Ulu. Well, actually, that's us lifting us. That's Ulu. But Cafe Ulu, we have a cafe, those of us who are part of the co-op here in Atlanta on Sylvan Road, 2036 Sylvan Road in Sylvan Plaza. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we specialize in coffee. We have Cameroonian, Tanzanian. Oh, I love the Cameroon coffee. I just bought some the other day to bring home. I love it. It's a really good Cameroon boyo. Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopian, and many, many more. Brazilian, Panamanian. We have coffee. We also have loose teas that are produced by a company in Atlanta. Potato chip company. We have some potato chips that are produced by a brother and his two daughters. Everything that we sell at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. So check them out. Go online, www.cafeulu.com. Cafe Ulu. Also check out our website of Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative, in the spirit of Ujamaa, or cooperative economics, or like we like to say, family-centered economics. Cafe Ulu. Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey Day. Next month is August, and August 17th is the birth date of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and we celebrate the official Marcus Garvey celebration. It will be Saturday, August 18th, and here in Atlanta, I hope you're going to have one where you are. If you don't have one where you are, sponsor one. Get some folks together. Sponsor one. I know that Africans on the Move in Milwaukee have been sponsoring a Marcus Garvey Day celebration for decades. The program here in Atlanta will be at the Wern's Nest, 1050 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in Atlanta, live entertainment, speakers, music, you name it, vendors. A people without knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. And what happens to a tree without roots? Exactly, it dies. So we must understand that we must embrace who we are. So, also too, we have African-Centered Homeschool Program. That's right. Akabin Institute is a full-time African-Centered Homeschool Program. And that program is in 20 years in operation. Courses include math, language arts, science, social studies, including American African as well as African art, you know. And courses are taught by instructors that have experience educating elementary through college level students. The school is open from fourth grade to 12th grade, and it follows the Atlanta Public School calendar, which of course they're going to be starting school next week, many of them starting school next week. So we're ready for it. Let's get ready for it. You can call Mwalimu Baruti, Baba Baruti, or his lovely wife, Ya Baruti, at 404-753-7237. 404-753-7237. Or online, Mwalimu Baruti at Yahoo, or his wife, Ya Baruti at Yahoo. Check that out. Bop TV Network presents Bop TV, the first annual Brown Sugar Festival, a music celebration of Black Girl Magic, August 25th at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And they're looking for vendors, incredible auction items, as well as amazing performers. And you can email them at www.blackonpurposetv@gmail.com. blackonpurposetv@gmail.com. You know, also, too, they have a bookstore in the Shrine of the Black Madonna and all kinds of things that you can buy at the shrine, clothing, the furniture, and all kinds of good stuff. Well, there's another bookstore that I promote, and that is the Black Dot. Also, too, Medu Bookstore, Medu Netra Bookstore, and let me just do this right quick. Thank you. The Medu Netra Bookstore, and that's located in the Greenbrier Mall, and they have an outstanding. Oh, wow, really? I hope I'm trying to be really, very clear here. I'm not sure. I just got a text that says that I am not coming through loud and clear. I don't know what I can do here. So I am not sure. I'm checking on things to make sure. On the air. So Black Dot Bookstore. Black Dot Bookstore is cultural center and bookstore is located in Lithonia, Georgia, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia, 404-519-8107. 414-519-8107, Black Dot Bookstore. So a little perplexed because I'm trying to make sure that I'm being heard. And so if you can't hear me out, if you can hear me well out there, or if you can't, send me a text, 414-324-5796. 414-324-5796 if you can hear me. Oh, okay. So, okay, I've just got a text and I'm being heard. So I'm going to try my best to be as clear as I can in terms of the broadcast. I don't know if I'm definitely not going to turn it up too much because then it really will be distorted. I have an interesting program today, and I apologize about what happened this past Friday. I had Brother Renoko Rashidi planned to be on. He was ready and ready to go. And I am not sure. Let me just. Well, anyway, let me finish my apologies to you. It was Black Talk Radio Network. Something happened where nobody on Time for an Awakening was broadcasting at that time for over about an hour and a half. And then it was straightened out because how this situation is, it's like this. TuneIn is the main source, is TuneIn. And TuneIn, Black Talk Radio Network is under TuneIn, and they have bought a 24/7, 365 stream. So they broadcast 24/7, 365. And then Time for an Awakening is under Black Talk Radio Network, and they bought a 24/7. And so what we do is I have broken the stream from 11 to 1 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to broadcast on Time for an Awakening. As Dr. Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 in the evening, and others who are on the program, Sister Revive and Brother Troy Wilmore and his program on Saturdays. So that's how it works. So apologize about that. And Renoko was in Mexico now. He was home. We were going to be talking about a number of things. So we'll talk about his Mexico trip and all the other ones. He had been to so many countries. I was really hoping that we would have that program on this past Friday, but unfortunately we did not. But I am honored and very happy to have as a guest one of the key holistic health healers. Holistic health practitioners, preeminent holistic health practitioners, Dr. Kakaye, Dr. Kakaye Patterson. And let me see if he's, Dr. Kakaye, can you hear me? Dr. Kakaye Patterson. Let me do this. I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to try to do something here that hopefully, just be patient, family, and I'm going to be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I hope I'm being heard, and I hope it is clear. I want to welcome my guest, Dr. Kakaye. Dr. Kakaye, how are you? You there?
I'm absolutely blessed.
You broke up on me, Doc.
For inviting me on to the show. Thank you, guys. You're doing a wonderful job down there. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. You sound great. Let's have this discussion. I really appreciate this. It's a pleasure meeting you over the airwaves. Look forward to your presentation here in Atlanta coming up this week. It's going to be – where is that going to be?
That's going to be at Tassili's Restaurant. I can pull that address up for you, but I know everybody in D.C. Is familiar with Sister Tahili's Raw Food Restaurant.
Right. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. 1059 Ralph David Abernathy here in Atlanta.
That's right. Ralph David Abernathy. Yep. Absolutely. My civil rights man.
That's right. That's right. If you can, Doc, introduce yourself to our audience in terms of what you have, who you have connected with, who you've worked under, some of your mentors, and where you are today, and some of the things that you do. I've been reading and listening to particularly some of the Facebook presentations that you have, YouTube presentations that you have. Brother, you've done outstanding work. You've worked with some of the great people who are into holistic health. You are a holistic health practitioner, and let me you take it from there.
Appreciate you, Brother Oshie. You know, I want to again thank you and all the brothers and sisters down in Atlanta, Brother Ross Marvin and Brother Tutmos, and, you know, of course, all the brothers and sisters before us, Brother Suleiman and Sister Ia Falani, Suni Ali, and Sister Njiri, who were holding down an informational process, you know, at the stations also. So we want to thank them. Yeah. At age 66, you know, I got a pretty rich history. I'm one of those black men who was able to survive, first of all, you know, grew up with no daddy and, you know, started using drugs at age 12 and 13 and, you know, stopped at age 18. And during that time, of course, the Black Panther Party and several other political groups were working in the community. And I was working in a drug field dealing with the problems of drug abuse in our community that I was victims of, that my daddy was victims of, that my brother was victims of, that my uncle was victims of, all of whom are now ancestors as a result of lifestyle. My uncle died in a penitentiary down here in D.C. So my commitment comes from not just my own personal experiences and suffering and coming up out of it, but actually witnessing the closest people in my family, the closest people to me are succumbing to a lot of the victimization that's created by a country that does not have black people's interests at heart. Therefore, we have to get up and work and do the work to take care of the people. So it's a burden. So at age 18, I began to educate myself, began to eat right, became a vegetarian. And then a year or so later, I was in Gary, Indiana, and met a gentleman by the name of Dr. Mutulu Shakur. I had been up there promoting a drug-free concept, promoting political education, promoting, you know, anti-police brutality and intimidation by them dealing with the problem of drugs. And I heard a young man talking at the podium, Dr. Mutulu Shakur. We were both young. I think he was about 19 or 20, and I was around the same age. He's a year or so older than me. And we linked at that point, and a month later, we met in New Orleans, and we formed an organization called BAD, Blacks Against Drug Abuse, and I had the flu, and Dr. Shakur gave me my first acupuncture treatment. I was very, very reluctant, but I wanted to go out and party with the brothers, so I went on and became the fall guy that evening and got my first acupuncture treatment. Of course, the rest is history. In terms of him giving me my first book,
are you
and,
also
me studying,
Doc? Are you also an acupuncturist?
That's correct. That's why we say holistic practitioner, because when I became a vegetarian, I began to study martial arts, massage therapy, reflexology, Reiki, Tai Chi, herbology, diet, nutrition, and within that, of course, learning acupressure, and then learning auricular acupuncture, which was the first process that was shown to me via Dr. Mutulu Shakur at Lincoln Hospital. And then, of course, later on, did a 5-6 year process at the Maryland Institute of Traditional Chinese Medicine for their master acupuncture program. Graduated there in 2001. But again, you know, all of those, you know, credentials and all those other things are not the key. We have to get those things in order to be able to do the work. We have to get those things in order to have the knowledge and the information to be able to apply the tool correctly. So it's important for people to go to school, but we know what they do. They limit us and they prevent us from being able to take these things that are very, very basic and form to our community. So one of the things that Mutulu did and one of the things that happened out of Lincoln Hospital is that we set up an acupuncture training program where people came from around the world to learn this auricular process of just putting five needles in the ear and dealing with the majority of the problems that we have in our community associated with substance abuse. High blood pressure, you know, stresses, you know, mental anguish and anxiety and depression and bipolarism and ADD and ADAD and, you know, all kinds of other mental reactions and manifestations that will take place, as well as developmental issues as a result, you know, of our lifestyle and the way that we live. So I've been doing this work for about 50 years. I started an organization in 1988 called AWA, the African Holistic Health Association, again, as a result of acupuncture clinics in D.C. closing and not being able to provide some free service to the community in terms of dealing with drugs and holistic health. And we began to organize around the country. And in doing so, of course, working with many people, Dr. Africa, who was in my first acupuncture detox training class and certified him in 98. And his wife is also a trainee of mine, and I'm a trainee of his. He already knew acupuncture when I taught him. But working with Dr. Sabi in 1978, my stepson had cancer. He's 40-something years old now, and we were able to do acupuncture and herbs and diet and working with Dr. Sabi. When I started AWA, Queen of Fua opened up a chapter in Brooklyn and ran a chapter in Brooklyn for me for a few years. And, you know, I have my relationship with Dick Gregory. He was a patient of mine, but also worked with him since 1975 when he supplied the drug program that I was working with a detox formula that we were able to use for about 10 or 15 years. So, again, this has been going on, you know, since the 60s. You know, I tell this story all the time. I didn't know that I was going to be in it, but I went down to the Great March on Washington. I think I was about 12 years old. I can't remember. And trudged through all the mud. We went to Resurrection City down there, and they had all the tents. And I think that was my introduction to it via my introduction from my mama, who shared with me so many different things, who was a retired nurse, and my grandmother also a retired nurse. And my mother used natural things at home. I remember the onions being put in our sock and her making onion cough syrup and plasters and, you know, peppermint oil tea. And when we had upset stomach, we get the peppermint tea. So I faked the upset tummy every week just so I could get the tea because it was so good and soothing. You know, as a young cat, I didn't realize it was calming me down and it had a medicinal effect. I was just liking it.
That's right.
The taste. Yeah. I didn't realize that it was calming me down and allowing me to relax and rejuvenate, because peppermint has that kind of fragrance. I have that right here in my living room now as we're speaking, so that we can keep that kind of atmosphere going. So here we are, fast forward to today, going around and educating people in the community about the histories of holistic health, knowing that acupuncture originated in Africa. There's acupuncture points on the papyrus papers, talking about ways in which we can basically, you know, work at getting our health together, you know, because people think it's very, very expensive. But one of the things that we got to recognize is that when we stop doing certain things, we won't be spending money on that. So that money becomes free to be able to spend on the good things that we need. And of course, in the long run, we'll save money because we won't be going to the doctor. We won't need to do specific things. We won't be buying Tums and, you know, all kinds of stuff, all headache Tylenols and, you know, all kinds of stuff all the time and have a cabinet, you know, full of drugs that don't work. So fast forward, we are now in Atlanta, coming down the end of this week. Bilal Suni Ali is a co-host whose birthday party is on Thursday. For those who are in Atlanta, swing on by. And he'll be there on Saturday speaking and sharing with us, you know, the concepts of health and music, and, you know, may bless us with a little tune or two.
Yeah.
You know, so we're inviting the community to come out on Saturday for a wonderful lecture presentation and fellowshipping, because there's other holistic practitioners who will be there. I will be bringing some of my products so that people will be able to take a look at those things that we're working with hair and high blood pressure and diabetes and, you know, all of the issues that affect our community. So I'm excited about coming down there. And thank God for Sister Tassili and the work that she's doing and opening up her doors to us. She is supporting this program tremendously. So we just want to thank her and the ADS collective members down there, Brother Lakeem and Tutmos and Afu Asuni Ali and all of my students who are down there, Be Original and Sister Nzinga Felix and all of the people that I've been working with down there. We're excited to get back to see them again too.
Outstanding. And I look forward to it this weekend, and it's going to be 1059 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in Atlanta. And the program starts at 6 o'clock from 6 to 9. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And then we got the after party after that, bro.
Right. There's going to be a party for the purpose for Wellness Window, and that's from 9 until, and acupuncture service is going to be available. And is that on Monday, or is that also on Saturday?
No, that is on Saturday, right after the lecture.
Oh.
We do the party, and then people can sign up for consultations and assessments and service for Monday during the day before I get out of town. Sure.
Outstanding. I know when we look at our situation as African people, not even looking at it globally, just look at it within the United States, the overall health of our people. I never forget, I was in the store buying some staples, and I looked at this young sister. It was the first of the month. You know what the first of the month means, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And she had a cart.
That's Mother's Day.
Yeah. And she had a shopping cart loaded with death. I mean, every sugar and salt and starch product that you could think of, ramen noodles, you can name it. Oh, man. You know, that punch that you get in the gallon jugs.
Yeah.
You know.
The red, green, yellow, gold. Yeah, I know which one.
Yeah. I mean, man, she had a cart full of death, man. That cart probably cost her, I bet you any money, it probably cost her about at least $150 to $200.
Oh, yeah, you're going to pay for the garbage, too, now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, and this is why we do what we do. You know, I'm, you know, sitting here in my living room with, you know, a couple of the members of our community who work within what they call housing projects within our communities, and talking about how we're going to go in there and deal with exactly what you're talking about. And we've been at it back and forth, you know, for quite a while. But it's important for people to recognize, especially the healers, that we have to go back into our community. This is the problem, you know, that somebody should be in the community telling that young lady, hey, you know, that drink that you're getting right there, you can do a little bit better over here. You can take this particular noodle and do this one over here. You can do, you know, somebody has to give her options. But the powers that be are totally connected with the food sources, the food program, you know, the food stamp program, all of those programs. They can't buy certain things.
Right.
You know, they can't go to certain stores. You know, so this again is a trap that we're in. But it's people like Tassili and Bilal and myself and these young ladies that I'm sitting here with right now who will come up with ideas and approaches to be able to go into the grassroots community, because we ain't scared. These are people. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able to go back in there and talk to them about the food that they eat that's making them more violent. The food that they're eating that's keeping them emotionally unstable. The food that they're eating that is creating just a bad attitude and lack of focus and thinking and fatigue and tiredness, and because there's no energy from the food that they're eating. So we have to keep going with that outreach, brother.
Got to. We have to. I mean, you know, like I said, when you look at the overall health of our community, the obesity, the diabetes, the asthma, I'm a former firefighter. I was a firefighter for over 30 years. And so I've seen, and I've worked in our community, and I've seen the devastation that this society has caused to our people and how it promotes. I mean, you know, when you look at a Saturday morning, the commercials for cereals, the sound is louder. The commercials are more vivid. You know, they just really kind of jump out because they're there to grab those young children to make them
that's
tell their parents.
Idea.
That's the whole idea of the advertising, to make their parents say, hey, yes, you know, you need to have this product, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I do when I go into the schools is I, you know, of course, talk about sugar, you know, and talk about the cereals, Sugar Toast, Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Sugar Frosted Flakes and Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops and Cocoa Pebbles and Cocoa Puffs and, you know, all of the things that the young people eat along with the Pop-Tarts with a layer of sugar on top of them and, you know, the jelly and, you know, all of the stuff that they do in the morning that they don't have a clue that they're eating. Young people should only get 3 teaspoons of sugar a day in order for their body to process it.
How
Women
much?
Should get 5 or 6.
How
know,
many? How
just
many?
3 teaspoons.
Teaspoon. Three. Just 3 teaspoons
a
day.
So with that bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, they have 2 days already, because it's going to get 6 or 7 to 10 teaspoons of sugar in that one bowl. As we don't even want to talk about Lucky Charms, because that's got little pieces of sugar in it. So you're going to have 10 teaspoons of sugar in that bowl. So they straight for 3 days, but then they eat more sugar for lunch.
Sure.
They eat, you know, now laters and Pop-Tarts and bread and chips and, you know, sodas and the red juice and the pink juice. And, you know, they're going to have 30 to 70 to 80 teaspoons of sugar. Those who go buck wild, which is the most case, you know, scenario, they go buck wild with cakes and cookies and candy all day long. So you're talking 60 to 90 teaspoons of sugar in some cases, because they will drink a soda that has 32 grams of sugar. 4, 3 into 32, that's 10? You know, so you're talking 8 to 10 teaspoons of sugar in that one bottle of soda, but they already had some chips. They already had some cookies. They already had some now ladies. They already had that cereal in the morning. You know, so now the children are going to develop juvenile diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
D.C.'s number one in the country for diabetes, number one in the country.
D.C.
for high
is?
Blood pressure, number one. In the D.C., number one for high blood pressure, number one for diabetes, number one for asthma and respiratory, number one for HIV and AIDS, number one for obesity and overweight. This is incredible. Well, why is that? We're in a cement city. We're in a city that's, you know, in a valley, and it keeps a mist over top of it, and all of the toxins just stay in the air. You know, there's no sun being able to just hit straight down, and just straight cement in the city. Not only that, that's the physical. But the social component, talking about the political city of the world, you know, all of the stress, all of the discourse, all of the fear, you know, all of the uneasiness, the anxiety, the depression. I mean, it just floats all through the air here in Washington, D.C. And black people having to deal with the problems that we have to deal with already, we got to deal with society stuff that don't care nothing about us. And we got to accept that stuff, too. Oh, man, we got big, big issues that we have to overcome. So, again, thank you so much for what you're doing in terms of getting this information out to the people in Tosele and all the brothers and sisters down there in Atlanta.
Well, I appreciate this, and I look forward to having a relationship with you to come on periodically to consistently inform our listeners. In fact, we got some callers. I want to take one of the callers, a person that you definitely know. 484. Brother, can you hear me? Brother Basir?
Hello.
Brother Basir?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're on.
Okay, good brother. Hotep. I'm legging, big brother Kukai.
Waalaikum salam, my brother. How you feel, Big B?
Oh, I'm refreshed and rejuvenated from hearing your voice, brother.
Hey, same here. Thank you.
Always. Yeah, I got a question. Dr. Kokaya, going way back, who would you say was one of the first great minds we slept on back in the day? And one of the first books that we all should have read back on the way on this path to nutritional sanity. That's a 2-part question.
First, yeah,
person and book, if you can.
Well, I can't say one person. If I say one person, I'm gonna call my mama out. you know, we'll call her. What she did. So I call out my mama, Miss Naomi Pearl Lyon, who was a retired nurse and learned from her grandmother. I'm sorry, her mother, my grandmother, Pearl Ivy Lyon, who was also a nurse. So she's the most important person in my life as it relates to my orientation into health and then into holistic health. You know, when I made a decision to become vegetarian at age 18 after being a drug addict and an alcoholic, the first book that I read was called The Hog. And this was a little pamphlet that broke down and talked about, you know, the results of eating pork,
right,
where it comes from and how it's raised and so forth. The next book, of course, was the autobiography of Malcolm X, which was presented to me in 1968. And we were on the street acting like a fool. And I told the dude, man, I don't want to read nothing about no Malcolm dude, man, unless, you know, he can tell us how to hustle. But 2 years later, you know, I picked that book up and I read it and I see the transformation that Malcolm made. And of course, became elated with the fact that I could change just like him. Then the third book, of course, was How to Eat to Live by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes,
you know, and I had a paperback copy of that book. And it was just a blessing, you know, that we was able to, you know, get that kind of information back in that day. So the other thing had to do with, you know, knowing how to do that. So the third book or fourth book was Jethro Klaus's Back to Eating. This was a white guy, and the book was very thick. And at that time, that book was the holistic Bible, you know, around in the community for those who didn't know about Dick Gregory and everybody else that was going on, Diet from a Small Planet and some other things that Baba Dick had been already written, you know. So, again, that led me into it. But thank God, you know, it was The Hog and then some black people, Malcolm X and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then I got Jethro Klaus and began to understand more about herbs, and I really discovered Golden Seal in that book, you know, back in that day, as well as what we called a plant-based diet, you know. So, again, that would be my mama, my grandmama, and then, of course, the list goes on, you know, with Dr. Gerald Douglas, who is the father of holistic medicine here in D.C., who was my main mentor, you know, around holistic health. You know, from the 70s all the way up until today. Was just talking to him today. And then, of course, Dr. Matulu Shakur, Dr. Sabi, Dr. Africa, Queen Afua, Dick Gregory, you know, and so many other people whose names, you know, go unmentioned. Brother Mamadi, Nayasuma, and so many other healers in the city who have contributed to the process here and nationally. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Ashe, Ashe. We have some other callers on the line. Just stick right with us, Brother Basil. 447. Let me see. 447. Okay. Brother Paul? Brother Paul. Okay. Brother Paul. Okay, we'll try it. We'll try another one. 646.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning
to you,
brother,
and your guests.
Good morning.
I just have a quick question for the brother. What is the best alternative for sugar?
The best alternative for sugar would be, the best thing would be the juice from the beet. The best thing would be the juice from the sugar cane. But we know what they do with those things. They process it, and the molasses comes out, all the nutrients and fiber, and they leave that sugar. So, of course, everybody's geared up to use agave, stevia, coconut sugar, contempe fruit, which is from Africa. A lot of people are not familiar with that. But all of these particular sweeteners are low in glucose levels and glycemic levels, especially the stevia. Agave processes maybe 2-3% sugar. But we should stay away from honey because that process is 20-30% sugar. So people who have not just diabetes but high blood pressure and any other immunodeficiency, you know, should stay away from it. Children with multiple sclerosis and autism and developmental things should stay away from sugar. So your best sources are, you know, what I said, you know, basically stevia, agave.
What about monk fruit?
monk fruit also. So you already know, brother.
No, no, no. You know why I asked you this? Because my problem is I'm a consumer of tea. I love to drink tea. But you know something? I've been using orange blossom honey when, you know, I also have monk fruit. I don't really like the taste of agave. And, you know, I wasn't too sure about stevia. But just based on your response, I think I may just have to go with monk fruit, because I didn't know honey in the raw was as bad as you just said. You know what I mean? Now, I also
let me qualify what I'm talking about. You know, I don't have diabetes. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have any of those problems. I eat more of a raw diet than anything else. So whatever sugar is going to go into my body is going to process properly, and everything that I eat is going to support my body and replenish everything that I need to continue to produce insulin that's coming and being used from my pancreas. I got to be able to put it back, you know. So other folk who are dealing with issues should stay totally away from all of those sweets. So let's qualify that. So individuals who use the raw honey know that it processes as 30% sugar. And if you have any issues, stay away from it. If you don't want to get any issues, stay away from it. You know, at the same time, if you have a certain diet, if you're taking herbs, if you're taking supplements and things like that, you can somewhat balance some of those things out. But most people like to dog themselves, just like me, when it comes down to sweet things. So you really have to watch your intake of whatever sweet it is that you're using, because your body will identify it as a sugar.
Okay, so based on what you explained, it would just be best that I either deal with stevia, agave, or monk fruit, and instead of sugar.
That's correct. All right, that's it. So you got it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, brother. And listen, keep up the good work. Where are you located at, in New York?
I'm located in the Chocolate City in Washington, D.C. We got a little like Marshmallow Center going now, but still the Chocolate City here in Washington, D.C. And I'll be down there in Atlanta this weekend, so you're definitely welcome to come. I'd be excited to meet you at Saturday at Tassili's at 6 p.m. When I do my lecture.
No. I'm in New York. I would love to get your lectures.
Okay.
Let me ask you this: Are you on YouTube with any of your lectures?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Could you give me the correct spelling of your name, or where I could put in at YouTube, please?
That's K as in kite, O as in off, K as in kite, A as in Africa, Y as in Yemen, I, as in Issa, 1@yahoo.com. Oh, you said my name. I'm sorry. I gave you my email. KOKAYI is my name. Last name, Patterson.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me make sure I get this correct, because I can use all of it. KAKAYI. I1@yahoo.com, and then
my email address. My name is spelled KOKAYI1, so we can get off of here so we can get some other questions answered. KOKAYI1.
My last thing is, how can I connect with you on YouTube? That's the main issue.
That's what I'm saying. Just punch that name in. Punch Kokai, last name Patterson, PATTRSON. And it'll come up, okay?
Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you, brother.
My brother, peace and blessings.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, Jay. Peace. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from that break, we'll have more conversation with our good brother, Dr. Kokaya, and who I hope will be a contributor to this program as a way that we get this information out there to our people. In fact, one of our callers was our good brother from across the pond, Brother Paul, but I guess he had to hang up. I hope he calls back. I'm quite sure. Have you been over to the UK, Brother Kokaya?
He said, have you been over to the UK?
You have your diabetes test. You have your...
Have you been over to the UK?
No, I have not.
Okay, we got some.
Been over to the UK as of yet.
Okay.
You know, God will hopefully bless me, and I get over there and talk to some of my brothers and sisters over there.
Believe me.
Yeah, no, I have not been over there yet, Bob.
Okay, believe me, you're gonna enjoy that. So we're gonna take this break, and when we come back, we'll have more conversation. Okay, family. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Feeling like I'm in the tails of the grip. Whoa, I can't move any faster. Yeah. Load up the chamber in case I got a blast. Translate the description. Now I'm walking like Egyptians. Got the nicest style when I slice. Yeah. Take it back to Oros, Osiris, and Isis. Hey, can't you see the license?
Say what now?
Knowledge of oneself is priceless. So, yo, bro, tell me how you're living. Unlock the secrets behind racism, schisms, and all the mechanisms. Can't break what's in my system. Officials say, ready to get strapped with a pistol. Don't you create another issue? Or is it gonna drop a missile? Who's strapped? Pick up your feet, don't drag. If the earth is your country, the wave, come on now.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs on the Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, this evening, Acres of Diamonds, coming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with your host, Dr. William Rogers, from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it is not me. It is Sister POC with her program, Revive. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. until it's once again Time for an Awakening with your host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to dial is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We have the honor and the pleasure to talk today with a holistic practitioner with a love for our people, and that is Dr. Brother Kakaia Patterson, who will be here in Atlanta this weekend on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in Atlanta. And Dr. Kakaia, do you have someone else presenting with you?
Absolutely. I have one of my young mentees who will be coming down, Brother Travante Moncliffe, 18 years old, just turned 18.
Wow.
Became a vegetarian at age 16, but had ripped and run in the streets and so forth. And so important for us to get the young people involved in this process.
Yes.
To have young people talking to young people, because
yes,
they don't want to hear it from us. But here we got a young guy who went through the streets early on, just like myself, and decided to make some changes and was able to do that. So he's going to be with me to speak. Of course, Bilal Suli Ali will be sharing, Brother Lakeem Winborn, some spoken word, and a few other little mini presentations. So, yeah, we got a nice little smorgasbord of some things going on.
Right,
we got a karamu going. We got a nice little African karamu being presented.
That's right, the karamu yeimani.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and boy, do we need it. Because like I was saying earlier, when you look at the overall conditions of our people here in this country, but even globally, you know, we're unfortunately have been impacted and imposed upon by a Eurocentric mindset that is selfish, greedy, evil in nature. It's all about money. I don't give a damn about your health. It's all about making money. If it makes money, somebody said to me, well, if it don't make sense. Well, no, if it don't make money, it don't make sense. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, no, it shouldn't be about that. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's good and healthy for the physical, mental, and spiritual health of the person, that's what makes sense. You know?
That's correct.
You know?
That's correct.
But yet because of the selfish and greedy nature of the European who has imposed that upon the world, everybody thinks it's all about making money. You know, that's why I'm involved with Us Lifting Us, which is a economic development cooperative for our people. And we have a cafe here in Atlanta. And I hope you have a chance and time to visit our cafe. I know Brother Basile visited the cafe. That's where I met him the other day. Brother Basile.
Yeah.
You still with us, brother?
Yes, sir, my brother.
Okay, how did you?
Yeah, he told me about the restaurant. I'm excited. He's gonna bring me by there. Y'all get the food ready now.
All right then. That's great. Yeah, we specialize at. Well, you know, coffee is the second largest commodity traded on the a traded commodity in the world, and of course, coffee starts with us. Coffee begins in Ethiopia. And so we, at our cafe, Cafe Ulu, And you can go online, brothers and sisters, to Cafe Ulu, CafeUlu.com. And we specialize in coffee. We have Cameroon Bojo, which I love. I love that's a very good coffee. Cameroon, Tanzania, Ethiopian, Kenyan, as well as Brazil and Panamanian and others. And also we have some great loose teas. And these teas are produced by a brother here. Everything that we sell at the cafe is produced by us, you know, that
Thank
we make.
Thank you so much, Bob. I'm a coffee person. Dr. Douglas, my major mentee, the father of holistic medicine here in D.C., made it clear to us back in the 70s. He said, you know, if you drink coffee, you know, you got to get quality coffee. He said, you don't hear about people going crazy in Peru and Colombia, you know, right. going around shooting people because of caffeine, you know, addiction or whatever, because it's the processing that takes place with those coffees. But he made it clear to us that the coffee was a bean. So we're not drinking coffee. We're drinking bean soup. That's a bean soup when we drink the coffee.
Okay.
And because of all the nutrients and vitamins, the dense nutrients and vitamins, why is it black like that? That's a melanated, you know, entity right there that's carrying all of those phytominerals, you know, blasted into that coffee bean from the sun. You know, so that coffee has been used in many, many health protocols for enemas and, you know, to help deal with all kinds of other conditions in the body. So people really need to study that coffee bean. It is a bean.
Right on. Well, man, and I think that for a lot of our people, you know, they look at coffee from a Eurocentric once again, because that's what we're being impacted by, and the idea of coffee and, of course, Starbucks and other coffee people, houses, and what they want to put into coffee. And, you know, just like what Malcolm said, you hear you have a strong cup of coffee, it's black, you know, and it's strong. But then you integrate it, you know, with cream, and you integrate it with granulated sugar. You know, it used to wake you up. Now it puts you to sleep, you know.
That's right.
See? So, and I always say I like my
got sugar in it. It's called lactose.
That's right. You know, and I like my coffee like I like my women. I'm going to say strong, but
you
I usually I
black
usually,
and chocolate, baby.
That's right, brother. That's right. I love us.
I'm with you.
I love us, you know. So, tell us also too about some of the, you know, I know that in our communities, just like you just mentioned, the diabetes and seeing that D.C., which is ironic because D.C. is the seat of this government, as well as, I would say, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. They're the seat of that government because even though England and all the other countries, particularly England, they have been the one of course, that have pushed this idea of white supremacy by them going around the world, claiming everybody's stuff, and then of course stealing and thievery. That's why as I watch the news, sometimes it just sickens me that they're always going to have almost something every day about the UK, the British, the so-called royals. You know, every day, and by doing such. Just like, you know, they continue to pump that into your head of who they are. It's just like here, there's an election coming up. Tomorrow is a primary, special primary election. And the commercials, it seems like those who are on the right wing, those who are conservative, have all the damn money in the world because they've been having commercial after commercial after commercial here in the Atlanta area about these candidates running and who is more conservative, who is more of a Trump. In fact, there's there is a gubernatorial election and on the Republican side, the Democratic side, the sister won. There's a sister running. And I don't believe she really literally has a snowball's chance in hell. But hey, you never know. But on the Republican side, these two dudes that are running, they're trying to out conservative the other. In fact, one was given the endorsement by Trump, and of course now that he's given that endorsement, they're really pumping that up, you know. But the other one, you know, the Trump state campaign manager, so he uses that. endorsed by Trump campaign manager. You know, so they got to have, you know, they feel they have to throw Trump in there, you know, to let them know that they're more of a conservative and they support Donald Trump, you know. But, and it's crazy, you know, and in fact, one of the things that I know that you are up against is the constant bombardment of our people with commercials and images and notions of us. And of course, that's hard. That's hard to challenge that sometimes because our people have been trained to really reject the notion of who we are and to believe that Europeans and Caucasians are superior and wanting to be like them. It is such a sad state of affair. I just seen a piece the other day. In Ghana, which I love. I've been to Ghana many times. There are women who are taking a pill supposedly to help lighten their baby up. I mean, this is this insanity must stop, brother. Believe me. There are women, there are pregnant women, and I've seen this in a number of news sources. There are pregnant women in Ghana who are taking a pill supposedly that will help lighten their child, their unborn child up. This is the kind of madness and sickness that we have mentally, emotionally, and spiritually because of European, Caucasian, and I don't say supremacy because they're not supreme. I say
not at all.
They're not, but they are extreme. They are extreme in their behavior and what they have done to us. So I label this stuff as this: European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, because there is no such thing as race. Europeans, Caucasians created that concept. There's only one race. That's the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. But they created that idea of race. And you can trace that back to Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach, the stratification of Caucasoid, Negroid, Mongoloid BS, and of course giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position with us at the lowest position, which of course has caused serious effects globally. Because globally, we have no friends. Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friends. You want a friend?
That's right.
Go look in the mirror. And
that's
don't
right.
leave that mirror until you love or like what you see. Not that you like your eyebrows arched or how your cheekbones are. No. Love and like what you see, who you are historically, who you are culturally. Begin to love yourself. Love your African self. Love your dark skin or light skin, whatever it is, but you are African. And embrace that. You know, and as soon as we can come together on that, then we can clear up some of the health problems that we have, the mental health problems, the physical health problems, the spiritual health problems that we have. As soon as we can do that, you know, and I look at your work, I look at what you do, has a serious component into reclaiming and recapturing, restoring that health for our people, you know. Because, I mean, like
Absolutely.
I said, you know, there's a lot of disease and death and destruction that happens with our people. I know that I know that they said that AIDS came out of Africa. And still people believe that. They don't understand that AIDS was created, you know.
Yes, it was.
You know.
Yes, it was. Just like they create everything else, you know, in this situation that exists, you know, within the medical arena, the vaccines that they have out there. And of course they did hearings and it came out that they're laced with this thimerosal, which is a liquid mercury that's causing the autism, and they don't have to use it. There's two different shots combinations that they can give, one of them without the thimerosal, one with the thimerosal. They choose to use the thimerosal. They had hearings on it with the Congressional Black Caucus. And with that Congressional Black Caucus hearing, it came out that the thimerosal was in there and that the thimerosal is creating some problems. But, of course, they did an investigation with one of their own within the CDC. He did a two-year investigation on the vaccines and the thimerosal, and he came up with that data to, you know, of course, verify the dangers in that multiplicity vaccine shot.
that they give that has, I think, two shots in it as opposed to one. And because it has two in it, it has to be preserved with this thermosol, this liquid mercury. So, yeah, they created this autism thing, juvenile diabetes. There was no such thing as juvenile diabetes. And now we got juvenile diabetes. Every year something comes up to explain some of the same stuff, like COPD, constructive obstructive pulmonary disease. And we'll be talking asthma, bronchitis, all, you know, they just come up with so many different things, and they create all of these things that come as a result of what they've done. And all they do is just define the results of some of the devious stuff that they're doing out there in the community. We watch the TV commercials, and the TV commercials on diabetes. When you see the people on the commercial, all the people are overweight. So they're projecting to folk it's okay to be overweight and be diabetic. Well, show some healthy people, some people who are making some transitions. They're not doing that. They have so many different what they're calling alternatives, and they're not alternatives. You know, these are things that they've come up with so that individuals don't have to do what's correct, don't have to do natural things, don't have to do self-empowering kinds of things that will take them out of that arena where they would depend on services that are not geared to them. As Dr. Africa and Dr. Sabi and Dick Gregory and all of them have said, you know, historically, all the machinery and all the diagnostic tools that they use are not geared to us biologically, but geared to that Caucasian individual. So all of the readings are going to be different because they have the deficient gene. They're going to have, you know, innate deficiencies that register in their body that won't register in ours. And when something similar registers, they tag us with the same thing that they've tagged the white counterpart with. We're beginning to see a lot of degenerative diseases that we weren't seeing back in the day, you know, the multiple sclerosis and, you know, so many other developmental cerebral palsy and, you know, all of these kinds of degenerative things that are happening with our children, ADD and ADHD, Down syndrome, you know, all of these things as a result of the nutritional deficiencies, as a result of, you know, genetic deficiencies. You know, we have been, you know, involved with, you know, many different communities, and over 500 years our women have been raped and, you know, we've been abused, and, you know, we're now, you know, dealing with the whole identity thing. And, you know, we got so many different black races now in America, the mixed race, the this race, the that, you know. So all of these things have been promoted by the powers that be so that we don't understand, as you stated, who we are. And there's just one race, the human race. And the word hue means color. Right. So we talk about people of color. And as you stated, we're the mothers and fathers of everybody on this planet. So, yeah, we got a lot of work to do in terms of clearing up the confusion. When we talk about health and medicine, they call the father of medicine Socrates and Aristotle and, you know, them, but it was really Imhotep. And even with the swearing in of doctors years ago, they had to swear to the Hippocratic Oath. And that Hippocratic Oath, you know, had them swear to not doing any damage, not giving somebody something that could cause other problems, not doing unnecessary surgeries. And they would have to acknowledge and sign that. But here we are today where they don't have to. Within swearing, in that Hippocratic Oath was an African man, but they changed the name to a Greek name so they wouldn't know that it was an African.
Right.
So the beginning of it says, I swear to the god Apollo, and to Asclepius.
Yeah, Asclepius.
Which is the Greek name for, yes, thank you so much. I can
Asclepius,
right.
I know it's,
you
know, a tough,
that's,
yeah.
Big old, that's them big black soup coolers I got. I, you know, I got to form those lips properly.
I hear you,
but,
brother.
Yeah, so that's Imhotep. That's Imhotep.
That's
Imhotep. That's our main man, and we're very, very proud to know that he's the one who created all these things and was doing cataract surgery and mending broken bones and, you know, all kinds of brain surgery, you know, the same surgery they did on President Reagan back in the day, you know, were being done by him and his physicians back in the day. So, yeah, incredible how they disassociate, you know, everything that is and was with themselves and not us.
Right. Well, we got another, Brother Basile has another question. Brother Basile, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, Baba, are there any fruits and vegetables that we should avoid or like limit ourselves to?
Well,
when we talk about fruits and vegetables, we know that the fruits and the vegetables is God's garden, and that we should be eating all fruits, you know, and vegetables. We have different perspectives from different healers who talk about certain fruits and vegetables that are hybrids that were created, you know, so people have choices. But we want to be able to eat all of the greenery, all of the fruits and all of the vegetables in God's garden. If people have allergies, they have to be concerned with that, you know, et cetera. But, you know, all of those things are available for us to eat. As he said in Genesis, you know, I give you the trees that bear the fruits and the seeds, then you shall have as your meat, M-E-A-T, you know, and he talked about the animals and everything else, call that flesh. But we flipped that. Now we're calling flesh meat, and meat means sustenance. If we think about the word itself, let's get down to the meat of the situation. Mm. Let's get to the most important part. Let's get to the sustenance. Let's get to what will sustain us and is most important. So God is saying clearly to us, I'm giving you these fruits and these veggies that you shall have as your meat.
Well, you know, when you talk about that, I know that I just seen a piece the other day on the news. The meat industry is more people are turning to or gravitating to a holistic diet, a vegan or vegetarian diet. And so the meat industry has been taking another slow hit as it continues. People waking up, you know. I saw that the other day. You know, I'm still unfortunately eating chicken and turkey and fish, and very little beef at all. You know, so but
it's okay, Bob. You know, one of the things we got to do is become educated. So 1 ounce of red meat has 76 grams of fat in it. 1 ounce of white meat has 72 grams of fat in it. So, you know, choose your poison and choose whether the process is going to be just a little bit slower. So if we got the right information, then we can make the right decisions, you know, about what it is that we're eating. Because they say, eat the white meat. It's less fat. And so, yeah, but they don't tell you how much. It's just like when they play with the numbers when they on talking about cancer center, 1 in 3 are saved. Well, okay, multiply that by 100. You're talking 30 people.
Right.
So that's 70 people dying,
right,
you know, from cancer, but they play with the numbers. Well, it's the same thing with that, you know, so we got to be clear, you know, about that and what that is.
Well, you know, I think the other thing is that when you have a society that is hell-bent on profit, they don't give a damn about the number of people who die. Although there is a concern about Caucasians because they're experiencing negative population growth globally, not
That's
just
right.
here, but globally. Because,
That's correct.
You know, and just like what Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said, there's a main concern of them for genetic annihilation. That's why they didn't want race mixing. That's why when they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of and then having sexual relationships with the females that they encountered through rape, of course, they looked at the offspring that did not look like them because Europeans' genetics, their genes are recessive. They're recessive genes, and Africans are dominant. And dominant, when they mix with dominant and recessive, you're going to get dominant. And so as a consequence, you know, there is that fear. And so that says to me is another reason why they're constantly attacking us in a variety of ways. Because right now in this country, we're experiencing zero population growth because of our what we eat and our lifestyles, homosexuality, mass incarceration, you know. So, you know, we're not producing as we should. You know, we're supposed to be only 13% of this country's population. I think that we're more of that, but I can see that we're not growing in population because of those particular factors. And probably one of the main thing is our diet. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say that, you know, that's been the process ongoingly since, you know, for 500 years, they trying to curtail, you know, our growth and development, but this melanin is keeping us going. So, you know, we'll be around. They'll never be able to, you know,
That's
do anything
right.
about that. But, you know, the major thing, again, is making sure that we understand what we need to do, you know, as a people in terms of straightening up our diet and straightening up our approach, you know, to our health and taking on a holistic approach.
And one of the things that permeates throughout this whole discussion is the mental health of our people, that the body part is resilient. We're able to heal people. Dr. Sabee, and, you know, he won a case in federal and Supreme Court saying he could cure cancer. So we know that we're able to do these things because it was being done before him. During his time, and it's going to be continued, you know, in terms of providing these kinds of things for people. People may have to leave the country and go to Mexico and go to different other places to get the healing, but that process continues. So we want to make sure that we educate people about that holistic concept dealing with the spirit and the mind part, because that, as you've been saying and we've been saying all through this process, is the major problem that we're dealing with, getting people to understand and to see what is going on, what is being laid down before them, what the they call alternatives, but what is the correct way? What is the way that we were doing it before they came with the alternative that was really, really destructive? So now they're saying that we got to get the alternative. It ain't no alternative. We got to go back to through the original stuff. We got to go back to what's right. You know, when they talk about with Doc, what's the alternative to sugar? You know, here we talking about alternatives again. How do we get into a position where we got to deal with alternatives when in fact we're the ones who created all of these things? We created health. We created, you know, the whole process of how to take and use the resources on the planet to heal people, you know, the herbs, the water, the air, you know, the different techniques and physical things that we've been able to learn about, touch and feelings and emotions that we're able to manipulate to get the people to feel better. So if we can address that damage that's been done for 500 years, that's allowing people to make wrong decisions spiritually, mentally, and physically, then of course we're able to generate a better community. And in generating a better community, we'll generate people who will come out of that community who will have the proper concept to be able to address our mind, body, spirit, you know, issues as we move on through.
Right, and I think that's vitally important because, it's, you know, when we come upon next year, which will be, if you use the date 1619 has a beginning for us here in this country, now you're talking about 400 years, and we really need to discuss and evaluate our situation 400 years later. Where are we? What is our condition? What is our overall condition? I don't look at I've mentioned on this program many times, I'm using a percentage of 100%, just using 100%. 40% of our people here in this country are at or below the poverty line. The other 40% of our people are 2 to 3 paychecks away from joining the other 40 at or below the poverty line. So that's a tenuous, that's 80% of our people who are in a tenuous position, an unfortunate position. Then there's the 20% of our people. 10 of the 20 are doing very well. They got good jobs, they got pensions, they live in gated communities, cul-de-sacs, subdivisions, and so forth. They're doing well. Then there's the other 10% of that 20 who are doing exceedingly well, and those are your entertainers, your sports figures, and so forth and so on. You know, they're doing extremely well. And what happens, unfortunately, is they prop up the 20% as opposed to, I mean, they prop up the 20% to make the 80% look at, see, you too can be this. All the while, the majority of our people are in a bad situation health-wise, bad situation economically and so forth, a bad situation mentally, you see. And so, you know, this is what we must do, is we must cure our people. But it's not just here in America. It's a global situation. It's on the continent. You know, it's in the diaspora, it's in the Caribbean, you know. So I appreciate the work that you do in developing the spirit, the mind, and the body of our people, and helping us understand what we must put into our body, what we must feed ourselves, and not just what we put into our body, but what we put into our minds. Because, you know, we're at war. We're at war. This program is dedicated to, and what we talk about every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, because we believe there's no other discussion. And one of the things that we desperately need is good health. You know, we need health practitioners like yourself, Dr. Kokoye. We need that. You know, it's necessary. It's vitally necessary in terms of us, you know, overcoming all these things that have been thrown at us and constantly eating away at us and causing us to hate ourselves. You know, many of us blame each other and blame ourselves for this condition because we've been trained to, you see, as opposed to looking at the European, the Caucasian, for who and what they are and what they have done. And not that we can change that, because there's nothing we can do to change that. Their minds, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior. It ain't a damn thing that we can say or show, even though there's mounds of evidence to prove otherwise. You know, there's history. There's all kinds of stuff to prove otherwise. But yet, we've been trained to make believe that they are, as opposed, you know, to looking at ourselves. So, you know, that's why I think that your work is vitally important in terms of what needs to be done to help our people. You know.
You know, I hope that everybody understood, you know, what it was that you were just saying and the importance of us working, you know, together as a community to straighten this thing out. So thank you again.
Oh, no doubt. Well, you know, I come up through the 60s as well, you know, and I learned to love Africa. I learned to love Africans, you know, and I believe in us. And I understand the problems that happen to that are affecting us as a people, you know. And I try to articulate those things every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on this program. But I live that. This is not something that is a fad, you know. This is something that is necessary for the survival of us as African people, because you know nobody's going to do for us. And it is very clear that nobody's going to do for us but us. You know, but see, how do we come together? That's the thing, because we got all these other things, and many people believe that the economics and politicians and voting and all these, none of those things are going to fundamentally help African people, except in embracing African Pan-Africanism, or embracing a holistic approach to us as a people. That's the only thing that's going to do it, you know. But see, when you live in America, and America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America's about. And it's been that way since its inception. That's what Europeans are about. I don't know if you hip to a book by a Caucasian named Michael Bradley, The Iceman's Inheritance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading that book about 20 something years ago, and because I was just trying to figure out, you know, you know, why our situation is what it is, you know. And so that kind of helped me understand, you know, Europeans being, you know, developed in that ice age and that, you know, separated and developing the mindset that they have, why they are so selfish,
right.
Why they are so greedy, why they are so sexist, you know, is because of development in that kind of situation. And so, you know, they have no compassion for anybody. That's why I love Dr. Bobby Wright's brilliant essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality. They are psychopaths, you know, in their treatment against us. And there's nothing that we can do. And so, therefore, it is incumbent upon us to cure ourselves. And one of the main cures is our health and our mental and physical health. And what you're doing, Dr. Kokoye, is help us do that. And I appreciate you and respect you highly for it.
Thank you so much. You know, again, you know, the whole idea, like you said, is to continue to work, you know, that this thing is so dastardly out here.
Yeah.
This thing is so dastardly out here that, you know, that we have to, you know, be on 24-hour watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to be on 24-hour watch with this whole process. So, yeah, you know, keep the struggle going, a luta continua, promoja tu dashenda, you know. But the major thing is get these basics down. So one of the problems is that, again, black folk don't read. Black folk won't investigate. They'll hear something from a doctor,
and they'll hear something from, you know, somebody around, you know, health and so forth, and they'll just run with it instead of doing the investigation in that part.
You know,
instead of doing the investigation,
right? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, also too, Doc, also too, brother, you know, they'll investigate it from the Eurocentric perspective. They don't investigate it
from
an African-centered perspective. That's the other problem.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, I watch the national news, you know, religiously, so to speak. You know, I'm always watching ABC. In fact, here in Atlanta, ABC comes on after the NBC and CBS, so I have a whole hour of news. And so I'm bombarded consistently with the commercials of drug companies. Consistently offering this for this ailment, that for this, that ailment, and all you really need is what you have been providing, you know. But see, once again, because society is all about making money, it's all about greed. So they're not going to cure anybody. They don't want to. They just want to treat you. They don't want to cure nothing. You know, they want to treat you at all, at all. There's money. There's money to be made in you having asthma. There's money to be made in you having cancer and heart disease and emphysema and whatever else that you have. There's money to be made. And there are doctors. Oh, I just saw a piece on a doctor the other day, you know, who had been prescribing chemotherapy on people who had no cancer at all. You know, I mean, just like, you
incredible.
Know. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and I know that in that Hippocratic Oath, even though we just mentioned that earlier, you know, the name of Asclepius, but the whole bottom line to that oath was to what? Do no harm.
But do no harm. That's right.
But in a capitalistic society, you can kick that oath to the curb because they don't give a damn. I mean, you know, you can have a disease and they know what they're prescribing for you does not. Really affect that disease, but the kind of money that they'll take from the insurance company and out of your pocket, you know, they don't give a damn because it's all about profits, all about making money.
That's the bottom line,
you know, and so, you know, a lot of times what you're talking about, you know, all it is a lifestyle change. All it is being aware of the fruits and vegetables that are out there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of times, a lot of people don't understand that because they believe that the cure is within the mentality of the people who went to all these schools to get these degrees to be a medical doctor, you know, and you're trained to believe them and trust them, you know, and so, I mean, I as a firefighter, once again, I've been to people's homes, man, I, you know, and on my report, I had to write down all those drugs, you know, on the report, what the person is taking. I would go there sometimes, they'd be having 10,
incredible,
15,
right?
Yeah, 10,
I got
15
folks come
drugs.
In with suitcases full of drugs.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
They're taking all of these drugs and their condition as they continue to deteriorate and gets worse, you know.
You know, one of the major problems that we have when people are wanting to heal is just that, you know, getting them to understand what that medication has done to them, but also getting them to empower themselves and to begin to talk to their doctor about how to dwindle or slowly come off of that medication. That's the most important thing, because a lot of times they're so scared to come off the medication because they've been taking it 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 25 years, and this medication has actually maintained them in the sense that they have a life, but the quality of the life is not any good.
Right.
Can't go some certain places, can't stay out too long, can't be out in the sun, you know, I sweat too much, you know, different things will happen as a result of the deficiencies that exist in the body, and the weakness, you know, of that individual's overall constitution, because their body is constantly working 24 hours a day, processing the chemicals that are introduced to the body 2 to 3 times a day in minimal, medium, and large doses. So the body never rests
for a whole week because they're taking the medication every day, 365 days a year, for 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So the liver, the digestive tract, the lungs, the circulatory system, you know, none of this stuff ever gets an opportunity to say, okay, we cool for right now. We ain't got to do no work. It's 24 hours while they're sleeping. And that's the time that the body's supposed to be healing. And they can't heal because it's still trying to process all of these chemicals that are latent in the body now because they built up within the body, in the tissues, in the bones, you know, et cetera. You know, so it's very, very hard for even the production of good quality red and white blood cells that come out of the bones to be even produced because the whole immune system and the whole system and its biology has been compromised.
Yeah. Just like I remember when AIDS first was being mentioned in the society, you know, and I just did some research. And then ironically, Montel Williams, when he had his program, he did a little expose on creation of AIDS. And he had Dr. Stryker and a brother named Zaire Miles on the program. And sometime later, Zaire Miles died, you know, and I believe they killed him, you know, for exposing, you know, what they developed at Fort Detrick, Maryland, back in the 70s to create this concept. And of course, AIDS and HIV. I also began to understand that HIV was just a compromised immune system, but AIDS was a depleted immune system, you know, and Dr. Sabi, just as he said, it went to the Supreme Court. He said, I can cure AIDS, you know, if people would, you know, cause I mean, I think, I went to a conference here in Atlanta. Well, I wasn't living in Atlanta at the time. I live in Atlanta now. But I was living in Milwaukee, but I was here for a 100 Black Men conference. And they did a piece on AIDS because they realized the number of men, especially probably here in Atlanta because of homosexuality, who were contracting the disease, you know. And you had people had, like I said, what they call a cocktail, you know, because they were taking like 10, 15 medications, you know, to stay alive. Now, fast forward today, of course, Magic Johnson announced in November, because I love the Lakers and love Magic, he you know, November 7th of 91, he mentioned the fact that he had contracted HIV. Well, I knew that he wasn't, in terms of his resources, the money he has and so forth, he wasn't going to die from HIV. Now, had he not had the money and he kept doing the kinds of behaviors and so forth, like Eazy-E of NWA, he died of AIDS. Right, because number one, he probably didn't change his lifestyle. He didn't probably change anything, you know? And so I knew that Magic wasn't going to die. But what, you know, some things that are on the horizon now, Doctor, what are some of the things that you think we should be doing and eating and taking to help boost our immune system, to help us with shed some of these pounds that we have, to possibly prevent us from being diabetic or being asthmatic and so forth? What are some of the things?
Right. Thank you so much. You know, I mean, brother, thank you so much for this show. You know, the information that you're sharing is wonderful. And it's so important, as you stated, for us to reinforce our community on a daily basis and empower them. The same things that, you know, Dr. Africa and Dr. Sabi and Dick Gregory and, you know, all of the healers in the past, our ancestors and the ones that are present, same thing. We have to, of course, keep our immune system strong. So the first thing we want to make sure that we're doing is eating our fruits and veggies, you know, and it's real, real basic, you know, and people say, ah, okay. No, when you get up in the morning, get you some berries, some apples, some peaches, plums, mangoes, whatever it is, your favorite fruit, and throw it in the blender. You know, throw some vegetable protein in there, not the protein with the milk and the eggs and all that, but a vegetable-based protein. You know, put you some other kinds of minerals and nutrients in there in the form of moringa or maca or, you know, any kind of multivitamin or mineral production and throw it up in there and blend that up and drink that, because you're breaking a fast. You know, that's what breakfast is. You're breaking a fast.
Right.
You've been sleeping, your stomach is shrinked, and you want to not put heavy stuff. You don't put no grits and pancakes and, you know, all of those kinds of things in there, you know, to slow down, because you want everything to come out that was in there yesterday, and you want to be able to get the system activated. So we want to do those fruits and stuff in the morning. We want to drink our 8 glasses of water at minimum. We want to use all natural condiments, Himalayan sea salt and organic agave and stevia and things of that nature. We want to use, you know, nut milks like cashew and almond and coconut and, you know, all these different hemp milk and flaxseed milk and, you know, so forth. You know, for our milks, we want to use whole grains. We want to use the legumes, the small beans, the lentils and the peas and stuff for our proteins. But we know the elephant, the largest animal on the planet, is a vegetarian.
Right.
So we know that there's proteins in vegetables, and people don't know that because they lie and tell you that the protein is in the flesh. Because remember, the meat is the vegetables, you know, and the flesh is what it is, animals, you know, blood, and guts, and everything else that we're eating out there. So we want to focus on our water intake. The other thing that we got to recognize is there's three major things that are causing these problems: sleep deprivation, malnutrition, and dehydration. So again, as I stated earlier, we want to get our water in. Nutritionally, we want to eat, but we want to eat nutritional food. We want to eat live food. We want to eat food that hasn't been cooked to death. We want to eat salads and fresh fruits and veggies on a regular basis. And this is not something we're just going to do just to feel better. This is something that we're going to do so that we can extend our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't leave this planet in our age at 50s and 60s and 70s, but, you know, that we clock in 90s and, you know, clock in that meatball 100, you know, because we know our brothers and sisters back in the past lived that long. And if not longer, you know, we know that for a fact. So we want to make sure that we're getting out and getting the sun, you know, at least, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes a day, just walking into the sun and absorbing that sun. We want to get into our meditation and breathing, taking 10, 15, 20 minutes, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes every day and sit in silence and close your eyes and, you know, do your best to clear your mind as you're going to be continually dealing with stuff every day. So it's important to give your brain a rest, even if it's a 5 or 10 minute rest every day, as you're going to constantly be processing and dealing with stuff as well. Not to even mention the emotional connection to these things and what they can do to us. So it's important for people to get some basic vitamins and nutrients, a multivitamin, get some power vitamin C. That our body doesn't produce. That's the only one that our body doesn't produce, so we have to get that.
The body doesn't? The body does not
produce vitamin C.
Oh, wow. I didn't, okay.
Yeah. So
what about vitamin D?
Vitamin, huh?
What about vitamin D?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we can, you know, process all that stuff through the sun. You see what I'm saying? But vitamin C, we got to eat it. We got to put it in. We got to get some mangoes, some oranges, and, you know, one orange ain't going to get it. You know, so go get your vitamin C powder. Your vitamin C tablets and take 1500 milligrams plus a day, you know, based on, you know, you and your work and the stress levels, because vitamin C works very, very well on stress and balancing out that intensity in the body. So, yeah, we want to get a lot of basic nutrients, you know, those 13 essential vitamins and minerals. You can look that up. Just punch in 13 essential vitamins and minerals, as well as your essential trace minerals, and you'll get an idea of what those things are, and all of those things are in your multivitamins. But when we say essential, that means that they're needed every day. People don't take supplements. That's what they call them, supplements. I hate to call them supplements. People don't eat the right stuff and put the right stuff in their body, and part of that is getting some nutrients and some minerals in the raw, you know, in the body. So some of those things I have available with me down in Atlanta, some liquid minerals that we've been dealing with that are doing miraculous things in terms of sustaining people's immune system and helping them with their vision and doing some really, really cellular regenerating in the body. So overall, you know, folk, you want to make sure you get your water in. You want to make sure you get your sleep, because sleep deprivation, again, is another one of the issues why we get sick. the dehydration and the malnutrition are those three major things. So get your 8 hours of sleep in. If you don't get 8 hours, sneak an hour in between programs and in between appointments and scheduled activities, especially if you got a little number on your age. You know, you want to make sure you get those 8 hours in. You know, make sure that you're using natural products on your body because you can get toxicity and poison, you know, from the things that you apply to your body, your deodorants and hair creams and your toothpaste and your lotions and all of these things, as well as the nail polish and cosmetics that the women are using. We want to make sure that we use as much natural stuff as possible in this process. Last but not least, we want people to take care of their emotional self. We want people to take care of their mental health. We want people to meditate, but we want people to be in a resolving kind of state of mind, that if there's issues that you're dealing with, past traumas, hurts, pains, and you're in a relationship that you're having problems with, you have to seek out help. Seek out some individuals who are progressive in their approach. You know, look up Dr. Welsing and her theories and how she dealt with the mental health issues in our community. I went to her as a patient, you know, years ago. Back in the late 80s. So it's no shame in the game to go and get mental health support when you're moving through our community, because all of us have been beat the hell to death for 500 years, man. And we're scared, and we're scared of each other. We're scared right. ourselves. We're scared to address the problem because of the hurt and the pain. So we're carrying all of that. We're carrying 500 years of pain as well as our own pain from, you know, our relationships, our upbringing, our mamas and daddies, and, you know, the different abuses and things that we've had to endure. You know, one thing that Dr. Williams and Chancellor Williams and John Henry Clark and Joseph Benjakin and Ivan Van Sertima and all of the great historians said, that before Europeans came to Africa, we didn't have anything called adoption. Before they came to Africa, we didn't have anything called divorce. Before they came to Africa, we didn't have anything called foster care. Before they came to Africa, we didn't have anything called senior care. Before they came to Africa, we did not have divorces, and we did not have relationships where we didn't have the male and the female. You know, right. they did not hear anything about homosexuality or any of that business, right. any of that behavior, right. You know, as well as the things we was talking about in terms of family structure, divorces and foster care and, you know, adoption and all that. But that stuff did not exist, because it was innate that you are, as we say, your brother's keeper. That
That's right.
In fact, we were each other.
That's
so we
right.
just want to get back to those principles and continue to promote that, and to do our research, to read and to gather the things in our environment that we need. You know, get some frankincense in there and burn that frankincense
right.
so you can keep, you know, a spiritual environment clean and clear of negative energies that may come from you, your friends, or, you know, your exchange with people. It's just a normal thing that we need to be doing to, you know, take care of our environment. So, again, approaching the spirit issues, the mental issues, the body issues, and the community issues. And last but not least, creating some kind of entity in the community that will promote what it is that we're talking about here today.
Ashe. Brother Basile, you have any closing remarks?
No. I think Baba Kukai said it all. I'm hyped.
Me too.
My adrenaline's running. You know, I can't wait till you get down here, my brother.
Right. I love you too, boy.
Right on. Well, I'm thankful.
One love.
Brother Kukaya, Dr. Kukaya, I'm really thankful to be to have you on this program. I will be communicating with you. I will see you this Saturday, and we'll talk about
my man.
Talk about you coming on here. Hopefully,
I'm excited
on a regular basis. I'm very excited. We end this program,
Jimmy. All right, let's do this, man. I'm get to the restaurant, man. Give me a little salad or something together then. Give me that good coffee.
Right on. We'll be there. Ulu, us lifting us. We end this program like we end all our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the European, the Caucasian, the cracker, the white man, the oppressor, is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. But that is our salvation, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio, which means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodio, peace, family.